Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezza today.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. It's middle of tax season, so I'm sure you are wide awake.
I am. Thank goodness for this black liquid.
Yes. Every morning. Coffee's the best thing.
Yes.
Yeah. As always, we welcome your phone calls at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. And if you would like to send an email, we'll check that too. jstone@petsofinancial.net. We have a lot that we want to cover today. But before we do, I just wanted to take a minute and share what's going on at the Children's Museum of Idaho. We were out there last night for their grand reopening, I guess you could call it, of the expansion that they have in place. We were hoping that the program director could be here this morning, but unfortunately, they're finishing cleaning up from the event.
And they're opening, soft opening today.
So soft opening.
So I'm sure there's going to be a line.
I bet.
Early.
You know, and it's so amazing when you look at where it was only, what,
five years ago.
Mm-hmm. And what they have today. As a kid, I remember one of my favorite places to go was to a planetarium, and they now have one.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It really is cool. And there were a tremendous turnout last night. The governor of Idaho was there, yeah. Which was wonderful to see him out supporting.
Yeah, there was a lot of great people there.
Yeah,
it was
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, highly attended.
Another thing I think is going to be a big draw is that Channel 7 newsroom that they have in there where kids can go in and be newscasters. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
And big kids can be newscasters too, which was fun to see all of the adults, because there were no children there last night, enjoying all the exhibits. Mm-hmm. I know a couple gentlemen that enjoyed that.
Yeah, that personally, booth. Very personally.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. No, it was great. It was really, really good. So if you have not had a chance, it's something that you need to take time to go see. Actually, I think it's more people know about it than ever before, but take a time, go out and look at it. It's right off of the Meridian exit in Meridian.
Yeah, just right next to, across the from Winco.
Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's is across there, so
yeah,
it's easy to find now.
Very easy. Big facility.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than it was when it was Tony Roma's a few years ago.
Which is crazy. That building was vacant for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right, so let's talk finance. I mean, I had to get that out there, but let's talk finance. Interesting time for me. I look back on the last 30 years. This was actually the year I started working with Dave Pezzo. 30 years goes fast.
Yeah, amazing.
So then I had to do some looking to see what the market has done since that point. Obviously, we know it's done fairly well, but sometimes the numbers are almost, to me, still unbelievable. The Dow actually, back on March 8th of 1994, I thought, let's just go 30 years from today. The Dow was only at 3,800.
That's crazy.
We're almost 40,000 now.
I know.
And that's not with reinvesting the distributions. We always forget that the a lot of these indices pay a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you put money in your pocket in addition to the growth. So you think about that 10% return we talk about, the polar pull to 10%. When you think back 30 years ago and everything that's changed and how easy it is to trade, and we're going to talk about that, how to get started, because we always say, you know, this is easy, but we're going to give you some really easy, direct tips on doing so later. But right now, I just want to talk about how amazing that is. So a $10,000 investment over 30 years without reinvesting the dividends on just the Dow would have grown to $100,000.
Yeah.
That's with amazing. Doing nothing.
And that's only 30 stocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's changed a little bit through the times.
I know. The stocks that are in it.
But that's technology, right?
Yeah.
So you think back about how the floppy disk was revolutionary. We were all laughing at the office the other day about how many life-changing inventions have been made that don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We still marvel at Redbox. Does anybody go to Redbox anymore? Maybe
no.
You do.
They sit out there. People walk by it. I think people put their drinks on it outside the Albertsons, but I never see anybody actually renting anything anymore. It'd be interesting to find out how much they were actually renting.
But it was pretty cool when you could get all seasons of 24 delivered to your door. I remember you used to do that.
That was Netflix.
Oh, was that Netflix? Yeah. Okay.
But I think Netflix was delivered just like it was a Redbox type of thing, but it came in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to wait.
Yep.
And that was about just a few years after what we're talking about. So that's right in that time frame.
Yeah. So then we go in and let's look at the S&P too, because I thought we pulled the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ just to see how those indices had performed in the last 30 years. The S&P was at 465. The NASDAQ, 792. That was 30 years ago. And during that time, like Tom mm-hmm. and I were talking about. You've had the Great Recession. You've had the tech wreck. You've had COVID. You had September 11th. You had some really large, like people like mm-hmm. to call it crashes. We mm-hmm. like to say corrections. Mm-hmm. And you still averaged 10% if you did nothing.
Yeah. And I think right around 2000, they said Warren Buffett had lost his touch. And I think his firm is now over $1 trillion. It's funny how things within that period of time have changed and people were dead wrong.
Yeah. I look back on that time too and realize how it can pull on an investment advisor's gut too, right? You may mm-hmm. think you have a really strong gut, but when the market's doing things that just don't seem normal, we all question ourselves and wonder, is this really how it still works? Which mm-hmm. we'll get into investing mistakes as well. Mm-hmm. So like I said, we had a lot to cover today. But when you think about making a decision based on your emotions, at that time, I knew several investment professionals that were also caught up in the tech. And they're like, well, what do we know? .com, but there's nothing there. I mean, when you think about air.com being a company mm-hmm. and there's nothing there, that's crazy. But some investment people went, you know what? But you don't understand .com rules.
Yeah. And this is it. You know, this is a new, the old fundamentals don't apply
matter.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope. And then people compare today with back then, because mm-hmm. a lot of technology, of course, the Magnificent Seven, mm-hmm. all of that. But is it the same when you have companies that are actually cutting edge, producing, making something, and they have what's called earnings?
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of those didn't.
No, they didn't. So yeah, we get that the prices continue to go up and the valuations continue to increase. But is it justified? We can't just go, well, this happened back when, so now it's going to happen again. History rhymes, but it's mm-hmm. never the same.
Yep.
So markets and sectors do go up and down at different points, but that doesn't mean because in 2000 we lost all this money in .com that it's going to happen today. Got to look at the fundamentals.
But on the flip side, it could. But it did. And what did we make during that period of time?
Mm-hmm. Still 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And dollar cost averaging is interesting because I also ran this with reinvesting the dividends. You can't do that directly in the index, but you can through index funds. So if you took the money and put it in your pocket versus reinvesting, the change in what you received is pretty tremendous as well. So the Dow would have grown to over 100, but you would have only put about 20,000 in your pocket if you took the dividends in cash. But reinvesting them took it to 200,000. So that dollar cost averaging when things went down, which is really good when you're adding money, helped on the return.
Yep. And if anybody invests in what a fund or some funds, there's one that has the mountain chart that we know about mm-hmm. that goes back to the beginning, and the difference over time that reinvested dividends for the is incredible.
It is.
It's really what really drives the increased returns.
Yeah. So when we do have a correction, which we will, guaranteed to happen all the days of our lives, we talk about that as well. But when that happens, just remember increase, which we'll talk about limits increasing on Roth as well as 401ks, increase what you're putting away or change to reinvest if you've taken in cash. And that will help your performance if the market corrects.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go to the phones real quick before we jump into our topics today. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Jennifer and Tom.
How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Oh, fine, thanks. Just called in to say hi again.
Yeah. It's been a little while. We haven't been here for a few months, so it's good to hear
from
you.
I've been looking forward to it.
Us too.
So, anyway, I was just going to say I got my tax form, so I'm all raring to go in that direction.
Oh, that's fun.
It is fun.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about that Bitcoin thing, you know, and I've been thinking that why own a bunch of stuff that actually has assets and income on their balance sheet and income statements? Dump all that, buy Bitcoin, be with a program, you know?
mm-hmm. That sounds like good investing advice. We're going to have to disagree.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I'm saying that, of course, cynically.
Yes, we know.
But I remember one time on the station, you know, somebody when, I think it was Facebook. Facebook had gone up so damn much, and they were saying that Facebook is now worth more than Disney. So, of course, I called in. I said, what does Facebook own? What do they actually own, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have theme parks? Do they have cruise lines and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so what have you all been up to?
You know what? Tom's been surviving. I'll put that word on there. Tax season. It's busy this time of year for us as well. So we get a lot of clients in reviewing. So it's really energizing until Tom passes out in a couple months. So
yeah. Well, I wake up in a couple minutes.
There you go.
I passed out last week.
There you go.
Well, you know, I mean, the tax forms, I still do them by pencil and then pen. And they're the only things that I still do accounting-wise, you know, and I kind of enjoy them. So I kind of look forward to doing it like pieces of a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not really confusing if you follow the directions. One time I tried to logically look at, you know, if line so-and-so is bigger than so-and-so, then go to so-and-so. I tried to follow the logic, and I, as far as I know, there's no logic there, but you can still do it. And so that's just what I'm into, you know.
Yeah.
I would say.
It sounds like an exciting weekend.
Logic is a big part of taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But good.
My father was a CPA, so most of the money that I've got now that I've reinvested was due to him. So thank God for the income tax, which is the CPA's employment agency.
There you go. All right, Jim.
Anyway, we'll take care.
You
just
too.
Just called in to say hi.
Thank you. Always great to talk to you. All right. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some more investing tips today. If you have questions, call us 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petso today. 580-KIDO, 580-5436. jstone@petsofinancial.net if you would prefer email. We've got a lot of things to cover today, but we wanted to touch on a new regulation or rule or something that's allowed on Roth IRAs and 529 plans. It's been talked about a lot and it's a bit confusing, but I think we can narrow it down a little if you've heard it. Main rules are the 529 has to have the same beneficiary for 15 years and the Roth IRA has to go in the name of the beneficiary.
Right.
So what they're allowing, and Tom, I'm going to let you jump in here too because you know a lot more on the tax side, but they're allowing you to take funds up to $35,000 out of a 529. So if you have extra funds there after your kids have done and finished school, because that's always a concern, you can actually get those into a Roth tax-free.
Yes.
I'm going to add this, so talk to a tax professional because like we said, there's a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm. And that's a $35,000 lifetime. It's a total over cumulative, not just all at once.
So what that means is you can use your 529 to make your contribution is the best way to look at it. So same rules apply, not on earnings. That's one thing that's different. Your earnings don't apply. However, it's up on the contribution side, it does, but not on the upside, right? So you know, if you make over a certain amount, you can't fund a Roth. That doesn't apply. But if you only make $5,000, you can only put $5,000 in.
Right, right. So in effect, if you're the beneficiary is your son, and you have $35,000 left in his 529, you can, for 5 years, I guess, you could move $7,000 a year, current contribution limit, over to the Roth.
Which makes it nice because everyone says, I don't know if I want to fund a Roth,
or excuse me,
a 529, because it's stuck, right?
Right.
But there's also a rule, and this is where it gets sticky too, is the funds that you make. So if you make a contribution within the last five years, that has to stay.
Right. And just like my son, I put some money in last year. And if he doesn't use it, I have to wait 4 years before I can do any of this, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something you kind of have to have like a flow chart.
Right, but it does make a lot of sense too. If you have funds that you want to contribute to the 529, it's not stuck there with penalties on the growth if you don't use it properly.
Right.
So it's a great way to still get that access to, you know, deferring some from your state income in the 529 and then have a flexibility on the outside.
Yeah.
So
it's a great idea. I just wish they wouldn't have made it so complicated.
So complicated. Yep. Yep. All right. So you hear the music. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a lot more financial advice. And call us. We'd love to talk with you. 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petso this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sun shining. It's going to be a beautiful day.
I know.
No snow.
I'll be inside.
I'm going to try not to be.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a good goal.
580-KIDO, 580-5436, or email jstone@petsofinancial.net. All right, so I have had probably in the last few months more younger couples contact me than ever, and I'm very proud because a lot of them are my nieces and nephews that want to start investing. Thing is, they don't have a lot right now, but they know they want to get started. So in the old days, it was really easy. Go to a mutual fund, you know, start dollar cost averaging in, but there was a lot of commission. So there was expenses. We talk all the time how inexpensive, basically free, it is to invest now. You just have to do it. The cup of coffee a day, I know we beat that like a broken drum, but you know what? It really does work. If you think about making small changes in your life today, put away $150 a month over 40 years and you can be a millionaire. I mean, that's pretty simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me that most people, I mean, cut one happy hour mm-hmm. out, cut a cup of coffee a day, those small changes, because it doesn't take a lot to do a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. You know what's the sour grapes thing you get nowadays, though? People go, yeah, but $1 million isn't really that much anymore. And I go, I'll tell you what, if we had an average of $1 million, everybody had it, there'd be a lot different type of economics than we'd be talking about now.
And isn't that funny, too? $1 million isn't much, so I'm just not going to do anything.
Yeah, so
I don't
just
want
won't
it.
Do it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm not going to take the million. I'm going to settle for 50,000 or
yeah.
30 or you know, or none.
Yeah, exactly, because yeah. you know a million's not much.
Yeah,
yeah
got to so, live for today, so I'm just going to just not do it.
Crazy. So how do you do that, right? If we talk about how easy this is to do, then I'm going to give you a couple steps. Of course, you need to really think about your objectives, your risk tolerance, and all those disclosures. This isn't for everyone. But I wanted to just walk through a couple really easy ways to get started today. There are a lot of clearing firms out there, Schwab's one, E-Trade, Robinhood, whoever it might be, that do pretty much the same thing. They put your money in a little safety deposit box, we like to say, and it's just locked away. Reporting is given to you, and you just have to initiate the activity. So go to one of those clearing firms. We'll use Schwab because that's who we know and clear through. Go there and say, you know, today I'm going to open up a Roth IRA, and I'm going to start my $150 a month. It is so easy. It can all be done online. You just mm-hmm. put in your information. They verify you through some security measures, and then you can link your bank account. And today, you could set up an automatic investment into that account starting Monday.
Yep.
Next thing, though, you have to make the step to put the money in something. You don't know how often people come in and bring us a statement and say, my investments aren't doing anything. I don't know why. They're not growing. I've had no growth. And we say, well, you're sitting in cash. And they don't understand that. Again, when you're doing this on your own, the brokerage account is now open. You put money in. You have to buy something. That's mm-hmm. the next step.
Yeah. You always have people that it goes to that thought of, well, what kind of return does an IRA have?
Mm-hmm.
Or what kind of return does a Roth IRA have?
Yeah.
And it's this unknown of, well, I have an account and it has some sort of
magic
mythical
formula.
Thought
yeah.
behind it. You go, no, you have to do a little bit more work,
yeah.
but not too much.
But not hard at all. So most of these custodians also will allow you to set up an automatic investment into a mutual fund, not into exchange-traded funds or stocks, but into a mutual fund. And I'm sorry, if you're just getting started, probably the best thing for you is to begin with a Vanguard 500 fund. We'll just mm-hmm. throw that out there. Again, be sure you understand the risks that are involved in any investment. And I'm not giving this as a blanket statement. It's just a way to start. So if you put in that $100 a month, that $150 a month, 5 days later, set an automatic investment. So it takes that money, automatically invests it. So you don't have to remember, you don't have to think about it, and you don't worry about what the market's doing when that investment's made. That's why I like 401ks, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. it's just done every month for you.
Yep. And you don't see the money. And they take it away, and sometimes they give you extra. So if you do have a plan at work, utilize that plan. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, you and I have talked about that a lot. Well, they don't match, so I'm not going to do it. That cop out, well, I'm not going to make $1 million, so who cares? So mm-hmm. they don't match, so it's not a good plan.
So well, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. No, it's a great plan because it's all set up for you and all ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And getting in that habit of regularly investing for yourself, paying yourself first, all those things that you've heard, it really does matter because the more funds you can get invested when you're younger, the better it is on the back end. We always talk about that last double being the most important. Well, if you don't have the time for that last double, you've just whacked that off mm-hmm. so your million doesn't get to be two.
Right.
So maybe you have a million in 40 years, but then what about the next 10 years? What mm-hmm. does that million become? So when you say a million's not enough, so I'm not going to invest, well, then you're saying I'm okay with not having 2 million.
You disconnect it, you know, like your illustration from back 30 years ago. If you get the tech wreck and go, oh, I'm losing too much money, I'm going to get out, and you don't continue to invest,
mm-hmm.
then that's this. You've disconnected yourself from the plan.
Mm-hmm. And once you do that, it's very hard to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That comes to one of our things about don't try to time the market. I don't know how else we can say that, too. I understand everyone says, oh, yeah, well, we're unless 3% away from 40,000 on the Dow. Wouldn't that mean we shouldn't invest right now because we're buying high? Mm-hmm. No, you need to get into the habit of investing. You look at things a little different. Again, every investment needs to have a purpose. We go back to why am I doing this? What am I saving it for? Now, how do I get to that point? If you don't have those three questions in mind when you make an investment, you really need to stop and pause and say, what is this for? How am I going to get there? And what do I do to do so?
Yeah. And again, that's part of the planning. Mm-hmm. That's part of what we enjoy the most is helping people plan and utilizing all the tools that they can have. And but you're right. Just getting started is the biggest hurdle.
Yes. And then you don't have to really think about what the market's doing on those investments, because you don't have many people we meet with that say, I don't know how I ended up with this much in my 401k. Mm-hmm. I never paid attention. That's why you ended up with it.
Right. Exactly.
Right? Fidelity's research really does tell us a lot when it says the average person that had the best returns are not financial advisors, doctors, whatever. It is actually people that forgot they had money or unfortunately passed away. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take a lot to do this. So that's why when we're saying just get started, go in. If you've never invested before, I always suggest talking to someone. It's good to get some guidance if you're not sure. But if you're not and you really want to try this, you can just buy into some sort of an investment on your own and just get started, because getting started is the hardest thing, but the best thing.
Yeah. And if you are using a plan at work and you leave that plan or the company changes or whatever and you're moving, don't just like, well, I only have $12,000 in there, so what's the use, right? Mm-hmm. No, take that as seed money for the next plan.
Right.
Bring that forward. Don't just go, well, I'll take the hit on taxes and then pay off the truck and then I'll do it again at some point. And then 10 years later, you're still sitting there going, when am I going to get started again?
Right. And that's one thing too. Be sure if you are anticipating, life happens. As much as we want to say that we're not going to have an expense coming up, if you own a home, your air conditioner is going to go out right in the middle of summer and you're going to need to get that fixed. So you also need to be prepared to have those emergency funds, those put and take accounts. So yes, get started investing for the long term, but also set money aside for life, because life happens even when we least expect it.
Yeah, and when life happens, what do? Well, I can't afford to put money in the retirement account because I got to pay for this.
Or I'm going to take it out and now pay the penalties.
And then I'll get right back in and I'll get right back. I promise.
Yes. And that's hard. And then you don't get that time back either. So now you've taken a penalty and you've taken a hit. So make sure you're hitting all the basics. Budgeting is different for everyone, but everyone budgets. Everyone. Even if you say, oh, I don't need to budget. I haven't for years. You are. If you're putting money into retirement, you're putting money into savings, you're putting money to put and take, emergency funds, that's budgeting. It may not just be I put $100 in an envelope for dinner.
Right. Or you didn't sit there and work through a spreadsheet figuring out where all your money went.
Right. So that's the first thing today. Go in, look at it and say, I am going to make a decision now to change my future. And that's what's so exciting to watch young people today go, you know, I've heard about this. I don't know a lot. Can you help me understand what investing is and how can I get started? I was so excited that I had three of those phone calls from three different family members over the last year. Tom's actually helped with one of them as well. And I'm looking at these young people and going, they're going to change the future of their family as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's really exciting. So if there are things like that and you want to get started, you can. You don't have to wait till you have a certain amount of money. You can do it today with $100, even less.
Yeah.
And the mutual funds that are out there that invest in the index, they're near free also. So there's not a lot of expense tied up in those. So when you say only the wealthy can do this, it's not true. It's really easy to get started.
It's easier now than ever.
Yes.
Yep.
And then look at everything else in your financial picture and just see where you're at and set those goals. And that's how you back into how much you need to invest. And there's calculators all over that can show you an estimate of what you need to do today.
Yeah. And going back to what you were saying about starting putting money in monthly, I think is so powerful, because you can set a goal of, instead of how much you're going to have, you say, I'm going to set a goal of how much I'm going to increase. Mm-hmm. So you're putting in $50 and your goal is to get to 75. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with the stuff you can control. You can't control the market, but you can control how much you're putting in. Mm-hmm. And the more you put in, the more the power of that investing will go.
Yeah, we like to say control what you can control. We can't mm-hmm. control the ups and downs of the market, but we can take advantage of those. Mm-hmm. So when we get increases in limits on how much you can fund in Roth IRAs, they did it again this year. They brought it up from 6,500 to 7,000. And if you're over 50, you get $1,000 catch up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're up to $8,000 that you can put away mm-hmm. per month in a Roth now.
That's increased like in the last 5 years from six, I think. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started again aging myself, it was 2,000 that you could put into an IRA. And Roth didn't exist.
I know, until 1997. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So that plus 401k limits have gone up. But again, look at your investments. There are a lot of target date funds or those type of investments inside 401ks. But I had a couple meetings this week as well with new clients that didn't know that the funds weren't invested. They thought that the performance was poor, but they were sitting in cash.
Right. And a lot of people, those target date funds are helpful. But you have to still understand, you don't want to be sitting in a 2025 target date fund when you're 45 years old mm-hmm. and trying to build money. That's, mm-hmm. Or don't be too legalistic about the year. Like, oh, well, that's the year that I'm going to retire. Therefore, I need to stick to that year because I'll get in trouble.
Yeah. No. There's no rule that you have to be
you,
there.
It just gives you a guideline. Yeah. It isn't a rigid thing you have to follow.
Correct. All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some investing mistakes that we try to avoid. They're different than normal. We found a couple different ones that we were excited to talk about. But again, love a phone call, 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo this morning. We are going to go right to the phones. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, I've been listening. I just wanted to say great job. I love it.
Thank you.
I love the basics, as we all know. I just talk about it all the time. But one thing that struck me,
yes,
I wanted to hear you guys, your take on it and all, is the psychology of people nannering in people's ear. Meaning, mm-hmm. you know, mom has to deal with the fact dad took care of the money, dad's passed away, and now we've got somebody out there that is really sure the end of the world is coming,
mm-hmm.
and we need to go buy gold, and here's why.
And annuities.
And when we're in a political season like this, it just gets louder and louder.
It does.
And so those are the kinds of things. And also, on the complete other end, because we're talking about getting started, are those people that are out there trying to get started, and everybody's telling them they need to be buying Bitcoin mm-hmm. or they need to go, you know, do this meme stock thing. And that's mm-hmm. fine. Go do all that stuff. I had all kinds of harebrained ideas when I was 20 years old, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that you have to do is you have to buy every month like you're talking about. And that's the first thing. If you want to do all the harebrained stuff, throw your money away, go ahead. I'm not saying anything's wrong with Bitcoin. I just don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works, but there's the next iteration of that coming, and people get hopped up about, I'm going to get rich quick, take care of the basics, and then you can do whatever you want.
You know, that's interesting. You make a very excellent point. So one of the young couples I spoke to, they actually have a rental and they have Bitcoin. That's the only investing they've done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. And then we started talking how easy it was. And she said, I had never heard that. I had no idea it could be that easy.
Yeah, exactly. People don't understand. And there's always this psychology to shift. All my friends are doing X.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like mom said, just because your friends want to jump off the cliff doesn't mean we're going to let you.
Right. No. We're going to stand in front if we can.
And I think a lot of those kids are telling their parents that they're missing out on Bitcoin. And so their parents are going, you know, they're so enamored with this. Maybe it is something we should be doing. And maybe we should sell that Apple stock and buy this Bitcoin because my son says it's the only thing. And they really want to please their kids by doing something and shut them up maybe or whatever. But it just seems like you get a lot of that. Oh, you're missing out, Dad. You got to really be doing this. I know you've been successful in all this, but you got to get out because no one makes money in the market.
It kind of goes back to the tech time, right, Dave? When we had all those clients that, not all, but a few of them that had never bought anything but an income fund and bonds, and they all of a sudden wanted to go into air.com because their kids and hairdresser told them to, right?
Exactly, and there's a fear of missing out, and there is. There yep. is that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago about the fear of missing out on NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And and how you feel bad because you know, let's say you make $100,000 and you take 25 of it off the table. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's really, boy, you should be shot for that, as mm-hmm. if you could guess the top.
Right.
But the fear of missing out is very real, and you're right. And people are getting into Bitcoin. Why? Because it's going up.
Right.
You know, it's a tough thing for folks. And I'm missing the buck, the whole thing, too, because I don't get it. So I'm not putting down Bitcoin. I'm just saying the whole psychology of chasing things you don't know anything about.
Right.
Just because other people are. And also living in the world of doom and gloom. You know, if the world comes to an end, like Tom always says, okay, well, what if it doesn't?
Right.
Right.
And the likelihood it won't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the likelihood it never has, okay?
Yeah.
It's a big call. It's a big, mm-hmm. big call. And people are in a position sometimes of vulnerability, of fear, and they haven't done it before, or they're just getting going, or they're vulnerable because they just want to be part of the group, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That they feel that they need to be part of. It's important for people to say, this is what I do. I put it in my 401k. I put $150 a month away. That's it. Whatever else I want to do, crazy, fine.
Right.
But I got to mm-hmm. take care of basics.
Yeah. And understanding that the crazy side is gambling. It's not investing. Like you were talking about last week, right? There's a big difference. Yeah.
Speculation versus investing.
Yep. Yep. But
yeah.
Very good.
Exactly. But great job, you guys. You guys have fun, and I thank you so much for taking care of it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, and we're glad you go away every once in a while so we can. How's that?
I like it.
All right.
Have fun, you too. Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks.
It's a great rest of the show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And, you know, he makes a lot of good points, right? It does come down to a lot of times people are in your ear saying you need to do something. We've heard it be on the good side, too, that kids will go to their parents and say, you have to invest a little bit because mm-hmm. you have cash sitting in the bank that's earning nothing. At least go get a high yield savings account or something mm-hmm. with those funds. So sometimes somebody in your ear telling you to make a change isn't a bad thing, but don't let them push you to something that you know in your heart and soul doesn't make sense for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that kind of thing of really understanding what you're investing in is very important.
It is. Absolutely. All right. It looks like we got another call coming in, but we'll wait and see what that's about. But first, let's dive into a couple other things. Trying to time the market right now because we are reaching all-time highs or less, about 3% away from 40,000 on the Dow, which is a pretty big mm-hmm. measurement. But when you look at that and you say, should we invest now? So my question to ask myself and everyone else is, what is the purpose again for the money? Do you need it within the next year or so? If you do, then it should be in a savings account. Do you need it 10 years from now? Well, then it's always the right time to invest.
Yesterday was the right time to invest. Yep.
So don't make yourself think every time you make a decision on investing. If it's going to be long-term money, it's for retirement. Today's the day to do it.
Yep.
All right. We're going to go to the phones real quick. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Hey, I was wondering if you could address the pros and cons regarding real estate investment trusts and whether they should or should not, or under what circumstances they might be something to be considered in part of a retirement mm-hmm. program for investments, maybe with a 401k.
Absolutely. You know, real estate, we feel, is part of a diversified portfolio, but there's a lot of ways to buy into real estate now that doesn't tie it up for an indefinite period of time. There's mutual funds that buy into real estate. You can get that exposure and it's liquid. We like that. Some are what we call interval funds, which are available every 3 months. So when you're looking at your overall portfolio, we feel that that is a good piece. Some of the older REITs, you just can never get out of them. So that's a harder point for some. Some 401ks offer real estate investments. Some don't. So again, look at your overall portfolio and say, how much of an allocation do I want to each one of these sectors? And I do believe that's a piece of it.
Okay. Do you have a rule of thumb regarding how much of a portfolio you might consider putting into something like that? Or is there something to stay away from in particular?
Yeah, you know, don't let it get too big. People always tend to, but I would say no more than 5 to 10% of any sector should someone own. But real estate's all over the place, too. There's different types of real estate, so make sure you understand what kind you're buying into. A rental's different than a REIT, like you're talking about. A rental's different than there's publicly traded, there's private. There's all different types of real estate, so understand also what you're owning.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your week.
Yep. Thank you.
Right. Very good. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, again, more phone calls. We love it. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Petzo this morning. We're going to talk about investing mistakes or things to try to avoid, I guess, because I always feel like if you get in, you start investing, you're putting away anything and you slip up, you're still doing something. So don't let yourself feel bad. If something happens, it throws off your investing plan temporarily. Just go back to why you're doing what you're doing and just get started again. We all mm-hmm. slip up in every aspect of life at some point. Just don't let yourself quit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the worst thing. You know, people go, well, if the market goes down, I'm going to get out. And I go, well, that's a terrible idea. But the worst idea is I'm going to quit putting money in. That's the worst possible one.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go to the phones. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, kids. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm just all upset that Mr. Petzo skipped out on talking about Bitcoin for an hour.
Oh, he's talking about it. He's just not on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
he's got nothing good to say, though. But
no.
Oh.
It's just anyway, a hard one to understand for us. And I mean, because we, you know us, we like tangible something. And it just, it's just like air. So that's
fit.
Why we yep. just don't, yeah. So yeah, just not for us.
It's a round peg in a square hole.
There you go.
Us.
I'm just happy that my yet to be conceived great grandchildren are going to speak kindly of me when they get that heart that wallet that I set aside for them.
Absolutely.
So.
Well,
but anyway, for Tom, more risk.
All right. You want me to drive without a seatbelt?
what everything comes down to here is there's two things: critical thinking, what they don't teach in school anymore. You learn how to question something. Bitcoin, Netflix, whatever, and learn how to do your own research. Once you get those habits established, say, why am I wanting to do this, and what is the benefits? And you just go down through the research. And the other side of that is diversity. You set up habits of only gambling with small amounts of money on all this wild stuff, and sometimes it works well.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. Yep. Good. But yeah, you're right. I always feel very much that you do want to diversify because you always tend to get overweight in what you know or what you think could continue to go up. So we had, again, you trim with the winners and you try to buy the losers, and that's the rule of investing. But when you trim and the market continues to do well or a certain security continues to do well, you always question, why did I sell that? And why would I buy something that's just been sitting there? Mm-hmm. Even though... Everyone says the same thing. I want to sell high. I want to buy low, but
they
I don't.
Never do.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
It's I think FOMO investing is the great example of that. It goes up. Now Bitcoin's whatever, 65,000, and no one wants to sell because it's at 65,000. It could go to 100, mm-hmm. and I don't. And they have no plan for it, so they just didn't think they were going to make money on it, and then they made money, and then they don't know what to do with it when they made it. So
yeah,
that
you
is
use
the danger.
The operative term there. They have a plan.
Right.
When this gets so, when I have my investment take off the top from the profits, what I put in, and I let the house's money ride.
Yep. But also understand what you're investing in, too, because sometimes there's a reason to just say it's done it and we're getting out. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
yeah.
So you got to really understand what you own and not just own something because someone told you to.
Yeah,
the critical thinking in having a plan. Yeah. So anyway, you kids are doing well. I just, like I said, I'm upset with David, but I'll get even.
I'm sure he's listening right now and he feels sorry and he'll talk to you next week.
You
How's
know,
that?
He doesn't feel that sorry.
You know, he's enjoying himself, I'm sure. All right. Very good, Terry.
Thank you, kids.
You bet.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. So that does lead into what we were talking about, too, right? Not researching what you own before you buy it. If someone tells you to buy something, you really need to understand why and then what's next. Mm-hmm. We talk about Cramer being the king of what's happening right now. He's always telling people to buy something, well, after it's done well. So when you look at that and you say, well, when do you get out? There's a lot of research places that will tell you when to buy, but never inform you on what's happening, what the business plan is, and what's going on. So the average person is almost always better served with an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund.
Yeah, because you don't want to – most people aren't – I would say a good majority of people have no ability to be able to pull the trigger. It's mm-hmm. You get that deer in the headlights kind of feel that, should I stay? Should I go? Should I stay? I'll wait till tomorrow. And then, and just like Terry was saying, it goes up in value. You're supposed to trim it. And you know that. But when it happens, you go, well, maybe I'll just wait a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes down. Then you're going to wait for it to get back up to that high water mark. And then you're going to sell. But then you do it all over again.
Mm-hmm. So know what you own before you buy it, obviously. Make sure you're comfortable and you've set plan in place if it does well or it doesn't. Because if the average investment professional that does this every day researches, has investment professionals, teams, all these people under them working, and they're right half the time, it's not that easy to understand what's going on. So maybe let them do the hard work, mm-hmm. especially when you can do it for next to nothing, right?
Yeah.
So do that. And also make sure you diversify. Even though we know right now that it seems like everything's weighted by that Magnificent Seven and they're doing everything, you know, owning things that don't grow the same rate, maybe pay you a little bit more to own them, it does make sense. If you have a lot of cash, money markets pay. So just own more than just one thing so that when there is a correction, and there will be, you don't feel it as much because maybe something will help offset that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about not investing everything right off the bat. We've seen the beginning investor get overly excited, which I like, don't get me wrong. And they just say, you know what? I don't need my $1,000 that's sitting in savings. I'm just going to put it all away and start investing today. We watch this happen and then life happens as we talked about. And then they take it out because they have to have some money to pay for something and they get hit with penalties and taxes. So budget, just understand where your money's going and set aside for the unknown.
Yep. Dave, and you taught me that early about the, you know, we mentioned it before, the put and take account. You're putting it in because you know you're going to take it out. So just don't worry about it, but just know that you have to have a plan to set aside money because things will happen. Mm-hmm. And it's inevitable, and you don't want to be pulling out or using a credit card because you just put everything into Bitcoin.
Yes. And then you get attached to your investments too, right? If something does really well, it becomes your favorite darling and you're not going to sell it because it's just going to keep doing well. Mm-hmm. So don't get emotionally attached to your investments. That's why we always say write down a plan of what you're going to do. Planning's important. And if it hits a certain level, you're going to trim it. That's just mm-hmm. what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think for our kids, don't hinder them by telling them something like we've had clients that came in and go, yeah, my dad bought Idaho Power for 20 years, and he says, don't ever sell the Idaho Power, so I never did. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're stuck with this thing that they're going to disappoint their father because they're selling that stock, which is just a stock. It isn't, yeah. There's nothing mythical about it.
No, and if you have an investment portfolio and it's overweight in a certain area, always ask yourself, would I buy that much of that company today? And if the answer is no, then that means you should trim it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times you've just ended up accumulating, and we don't always want to sell. Like Dave says, if you don't get those really great returns over a certain period of time, you're never going to hit the home run, right? They matter. But there also is a point when you just say, would I own this much of any company if I had to buy it today? Right. And if you wouldn't, then maybe just trim a little bit, right? Also, this is a big one, investing and thinking you're going to get rich quick. When you talk about doubling of your performance of your fund, $1,000 to $2,000 is a great return, but it doesn't feel like a lot because the dollar amount's not that great. But the percentage is phenomenal. So a lot of times as the initial compounding starts, it doesn't feel as satisfying and you start to wonder, is this ever going to really work? What about that compounding that they talk about? My money seems to be just sitting there. So remember, percentages on lower dollar amounts are still high percentages. If you get 10% on $1,000, you're still getting $100. Oh, wait, that's only $100, right? Mm-hmm. So when you start to look at those numbers and say, this account's not growing, but the performance is better, remember that it takes some time for that compounding to kick in.
It's like it's a flywheel. You know, it just barely starts when you start pushing it, and then it gets easier and easier and starts. And pretty soon it's going faster than you can even start, you know, push it. And so that's how that works.
And then, you know, when you're 60 years old, you're going to look at your portfolio and say, oh, wow. Okay. Now I see.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we have those conversations where it worked and they see mm-hmm. that final double and they realize why they put in so much mm-hmm. work in the front end. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We have a lot of time for calls. So please call us at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Jennifer Stone and Tom Brown filling in for Dave Pezzo. Wow, another quick Saturday.
I know. This has been really quick.
It is. But luckily, you get to go back and start working on taxes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. We do have time for a phone call. So if you have questions that are out there, just give us a quick call at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Or email works too. jstone@petsofinancial.net. So we were chatting a little bit at the break about some of the, again, it's all psychology. Everything about this and how you think about money comes back to emotion. So we like to try to take the emotion out of it, but good luck. Everything comes to it, right? If it's not doing well, you feel sick. If it's doing great, you feel exuberant. If it's not this or that, especially this time of year, you start to get your tax bill. And Tom was laughing because you have people say, well, I don't want to even invest anymore if I have to pay taxes.
Yeah. And they made tens of thousands of dollars, and now they have to pay $4,000 more. And it's just like, well, that, I didn't make any money at all. I can't believe, if I have to pay this amount of taxes, well, that's a, we screwed up. Mm-hmm. And just, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. This is a symptom of success.
Right. And everybody wants to make money, but they don't want to pay tax when they make money.
Right.
Right.
It is so, such a, and they don't, a lot of people still don't understand that just because your account value went up doesn't mean you pay taxes on that increase. Mm-hmm. And what the dividend income and so forth, it still is a real blank spot for a lot of people. It's like going, well, I guess I'm going to make a lot of money last year because my accounts went up. And they go, no, that isn't.
And I think also the confusing part, and it does get confusing. I mean, our tax code, and I'm preaching to the choir here, is the most ridiculously complicated thing ever created. And they don't make things easier. We're laughing because there's a new rule about contributions in 2025 into a Roth IRA from age 60 to 63 go to 10,000. Who sits around and decides this?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody else, just that group of 3 years, you get to put in 10,000 more. Why? Or 10,000 total.
Yeah.
So it is hard. We get this. And a part of it that's getting really complicated that you really want to try to understand is qualified accounts. And if you're a single person and you're leaving it to your children, not your spouse, what happens to that money? The payout used to be over their life expectancy. Now the funds have to be out within 10 years. If you've saved well, this could be a tax burden for people.
Yeah.
So understand those, understand how it's working, and maybe work with your tax professional to take a little more out now and manage those tax brackets. Maybe, I know no one wants to pay it, I get it, but it is something you need to plan for. And also understand that if you have a regular brokerage account that's jointly owned or individually owned, any income that is paid on that account through dividends, interest, capital gain distributions, not from just sales, but distributions from funds, those are taxable the year received.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My account didn't go up. So why would I have to pay any taxes?
And why, if I don't get that money, do I have to pay tax on it?
Why is it? Because it went back in. And right. That's the one I get daily.
And then I'm taxed twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then again,
I take it out, I'm going to be taxed again.
Correct. You know? Yeah. And understanding what cost basis is important too. So remember that if you put $100,000 into an investment and over the years you get $10,000 in dividends that reinvest, your cost basis is higher than that 100. It's now grown by a 10,000. So when you sell, you don't pay tax on those funds again.
Yeah.
So understand how it works, and also understand if your investments are doing well and you end up putting a dollar in your pocket, but you pay 10 cents in taxes, you still get 90 cents.
Yep.
So don't forget that.
Yep. Don't forget that when in March and April.
When you come in to see Tom and he says you owe some tax.
Yeah. And then I get these evil stares and they just want to leave and they don't want to pay.
Yeah. And the interesting thing too is if you're taking a distribution from your IRA and you pay tax and that's hard for you, again, psychologically, to write that check, you can withhold and play a trick on your mind because you don't feel it because you're not writing a check. So you might feel better if you withhold from those distributions and let the custodian pay the tax for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not for you, but direct it for you.
Right.
Right. So what else? What else is new with tax season this year, Tom?
Things didn't change too much. You know, things are pretty much the same. You know, little tweaks on the tax brackets, they did some things there, but pretty much it's the same. I think one big change that is affecting a lot of people we know is the TD Ameritrade and Schwab transition last year, the merger, And you do need, if you had any accounts in TD Ameritrade, remember you're going to have two 1099s or 1099Rs if you have an IRA.
Yeah, so watch for both. And also understand, too, that those consolidated tax documents that are sent out, they can be revised. Your broker doesn't control that. Your advisor doesn't control that. Even the custodian doesn't. It's whoever's filtering the information to them. They have to update your tax documents. Normally, it's not a big change, but that's why we always encourage people just to hold off and not file quickly.
You can do them. You just don't officially file them.
Yes. Yep. All right. And this time of year, remember, required minimum distributions reset at the first of the year. If you're doing qualified giving, don't forget about that ability. Over age 70 and a half, no, it seems silly, you can do the giving, but it doesn't really help until you reach that RMD age, which is 73 currently. And if you directly give to charity, which did go up this year, it went from 100 to 105.
101.
105.
Was that 105? 105. That's right.
That you can give. Yes. Yep. Nope. And so you can directly give to charities. Don't take possession and write the check. Direct it from your IRA. It's a great way to give and get tax benefit too. That's another way to reduce some tax liability if you're worried about that. And also interest on money markets, it is paying. Some people are looking at municipal bond type funds because they want to save taxes again. Everyone's focused on that. But if you have more in your pocket after tax than you're yielding with the muni type fund, just go with that.
Yeah, and that is something that's different this year. The last 2 years is that marginally that increase in interest, the interest rate going up, has increased people's tax bills just a little bit, because all of a sudden they have $150 in interest and they had $10 two years ago.
Yeah, good,
so,
good.
A little bit.
Yeah, so I guess the thing that I look back on is 30 years ago when I first started in this business, I had no idea how amazing it was. I have gotten to live lives with so many people and watch them through tragedy and triumph and get people started and help them create wealth beyond what they thought was possible. It's an absolutely amazing responsibility. And I guess I just feel overwhelmingly blessed to work with people like Tom and Dave on a regular basis. And the Petzo team's just really, really good stuff. So, I look and think, not only are we able to help people do things they wouldn't do on their own and try to stop them from, like Dave said, jumping off the cliff the best we can, but it's just really been an amazing opportunity. Being here periodically and talking with all of you, it's just an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And you're almost 20 years now, right?
Yeah.
Pushing it.
Next year. Next year will be 20.
Wow. Yeah, time goes fast.
Yeah, I remember that first day just like it was yesterday.
So, yeah. And again, just remember, when that Dow hits 40,000, what's that going to feel like? I realize now that when you look back on some of those milestones of the different times that we've hit Dow 20, I mean, that seems like it was just yesterday. And that was in 2017. Dow 25,000 was in 2018. Dow 30 was 2020. Think about that. We hit an all-time record high in a year with COVID.
Yeah, and is there in Chris? And think about in 2017 when it was 20. Did you say that? So we hit 20 there. And what did we say? You think we should maybe it's at the top. We shouldn't invest now.
I know. And this is without the distributions you've been paid to own these investments throughout these years. You've also put cash in your pocket when the markets continue to grow. And like Tom pointed out earlier in the show, these are only 30 stocks that change periodically, right? And they've still been able to do something so amazing.
Yeah.
Without a lot of risk. And then
And like you said, we had COVID in that period of time. We've had a whole bunch of political turmoil and world turmoil, and it just plows on, just like it always has.
I wonder why, too. That's why we have a little bit thicker stomach, right? We've seen a lot of events, and we've watched the market crawl back out of them. A lot of times it zipped higher right off the bat, but sometimes it took a little bit of time to come back from those record highs,
but
it works. It does. Yeah. So just get started. I guess that's the name of the show today. Get started. Decide how much you can save, because you know in the future it's going to be worth a lot more. And if you need help, there are a lot of great financial advisors out there that want to do this. Look for the fiduciaries. Look for people that get compensated by fees. No product sales. Anyone that tells you you can make money and not lose, that's not the person. Go to people that can help you walk this walk. And you'll be so happy in 30, 40, 50 years when you're able to retire to do whatever you want. All right. Well, have a great rest of your weekend. And we're around if you need us. Phone numbers at the office, you can call or just shoot us an email, petzofinancial.com, and we'll get back to you. So have a wonderful weekend.